Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew 28. And our topic today is the Great Commission, sharing the good news. What is good news? Who can give me an example of good news? Right there. That's a good example, yes. When someone tells you something that makes you happy. So, what could someone tell you that would make you happy? Yes. Okay, that's good. No, but I mean, in all seriousness, what if you had a family member who was very sick, but then you found out that they had been healed? That would make you very happy. All right, you got a new puppy. That would make you happy. That would be good news. Yes. You just won $1 million. That would make somebody happy. They'd be jumping up and down. Yes. All right, I bet that would make you happy. That'd be good news. Yes. Oh, let's all listen. We can't hear what someone says if we're talking. Yes. Say again?
Yard. Yard.
Playing in the yard? Okay.
The yard.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Yes. That would make you good news for you if you were allowed to do that. All right. Well, there's a lot of things that are good news for us, but the gospel is the best news of all. Now, what word in the Bible means good news? I kind of gave it away. What word in the Bible means good news? Right in the corner.
Gospel.
Yes, very good. So if you want to go to the next slide, gospel comes from the old English word. And you might think of, you know, a newspaper, there's good news. Go ahead and go to the next slide. So it comes from in English, it comes from God spell, which means good tale. And in Greek, in the Bible, in the language the New Testament was written in, it's the word euangelion, which means good message. Gospel simply means good news, whether in Greek or English. So, what is the good news? Well, in Mark chapter 1 and verse 1, we read, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." This good news is all about Jesus. Now, in Matthew 28, Jesus had been crucified. And I don't know about you, but to me, that doesn't really seem like good news. If the person that you were following, the person that was your teacher, you loved them, and they were killed, that doesn't seem like good news. But that wasn't the end of the story. Jesus had been crucified. Some of his followers had put him in a tomb, a borrowed tomb. Now, there were women there who followed Jesus. They wanted to show their love and respect for Jesus. They wanted to bring some aromatic spices and perfumes to anoint his body. Now, there were soldiers who had been commanded to guard the tomb. So these Roman soldiers with all their armor on, they are going to guard the tomb. And not only are there soldiers, what is this? What do you guys think this is? Raise your hand if you have an answer right there.
Like a tunnel, it's like a walking.
It is, but what's in front of it? Yes. Do you think this rock is light or heavy? What do you think? Really heavy. In fact, it would probably take this whole side of the room to move this rock. Because when they would push it, they would actually push it downhill to have it go in place in front of the tomb. So to push it away, you'd have to push it uphill. A very heavy rock. Well, these women are going to come to anoint the body of Jesus. But how are they going to do that? There's the soldiers there. There's that heavy rock. Well, let's see what happens. So it was after the Sabbath. It was Sunday, the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Now, I think it takes a lot for these Roman soldiers to faint. But when they heard the earthquake and they saw the angel, they fell down and fainted. What's interesting to me is that the women who came to show their respect to Jesus, you know, the women who brought the spices and the perfumed oils, they didn't fall down. They didn't faint. It seems like they had more courage than those soldiers did. They probably were scared, though, because the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know ye seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." Now, that angel told the women some good news, that Jesus was no longer dead. The tomb was empty, that he had risen. Go to the next slide, and we see, because Christ is risen, we have good news to share. Why is the resurrection good news? It's because of this. Go to the next slide. The resurrection changes the cross from a question mark to an exclamation point. You see, if Jesus had simply died and been buried, we would have been left with a question, with many questions, in fact. Who was Jesus? Why did he come? What was he doing, and why did he die? We just would have been left with so many questions. Was he really the Son of God, or was he just a man who was a good teacher but who was killed? Who was he really? But you see, the resurrection changes all of that. The resurrection shows us that Jesus was who he said he was. Jesus is the Son of God. Let's go to the next verse here, and we'll see Romans 1, 1 through 4, where Paul writes this. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, separated to the gospel of God. Remember, what does gospel mean? Who can tell me? Raise your hand. Let's see. Right here. Good news. All right, let's say it together. Good news. Paul says he is separated to the gospel, to this good news concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was declared to be the Son of God with power by what? Look at what it says. By the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection declares that Jesus is the Son of God with power. It's not a question mark. Who is Jesus? It's an exclamation point. It's good news. Jesus is who he said he was. He proved it by his resurrection. Also, the resurrection shows us that Jesus perfectly accomplished the work of salvation. Look with me at this next verse here. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Jesus, our Lord, was delivered for our offenses. That was why he was delivered to the Romans. That's why he was crucified on the cross. It was because of our offenses, our sins, and was raised again for our justification. Jesus was raised from the dead so that we can be made right with God. Because of what Jesus did, because of his death and resurrection, we can be made right with God. You see, this is what religion says. There are many religions in our world, but they all have pretty much the same message. Religion says, just try hard to be good. Try to be a good person. Try to follow all of these rules, And if you're good enough, then you'll go to heaven. But the truth is, all of us have broken the rules. All of us are guilty. Even our best efforts to be good are tainted by sin. But what does Jesus say? Jesus doesn't say, try hard to be good. No, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. He is the way for us to come to God. It's not our works, it's His work that can make us right with God. And that's why Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you feel that burden of your guilt and your sin, Jesus invites you, come to me. And in the Bible we read, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It's not by any work we do, it's because of what Jesus did, His death and resurrection, that we can be justified, that we can be forgiven and accepted by God. This is good news. And so looking back at what the women were told by the angel, what did the angel say to the women? The angel said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. That's what we should do as well. Let's come. Let's see. Let's take a look at what Jesus did for us. And after that we have seen, after we have understood what Christ has done for us, His death and His resurrection, what did the angel say to the women? Come and see, come see, and go and tell. After we have understood the good news, we too can go and tell others about the good news of what Jesus has done for us. Come and see, go and tell. That's what the angel said to the women. And this good news, it's for you and it's for others as well. That's why we are to tell it, because this good news is for everyone. What Jesus did, He did for everyone. Now, what did the women do? They went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring His disciples word. Now, while they were going, behold, some of the Verse 9, and as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. What did the women do when they met Jesus? They saw Jesus Himself. What did they do? Verse number 9. They came, they held Him by the feet. You see, He had risen from the dead. He wasn't a ghost. He had a body they could touch. They held Him by His feet. And they worshipped Him. Evangelism, sharing the gospel, it's not just a duty that we have to do. In evangelism, it's a way for us to worship God. And it's a way that we can help others worship God as well. Let's take a look at what Psalm 67 says. Let's go ahead to the next one. Psalm 67 says, God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us, Selah, that Your way may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. The purpose of sharing the gospel is so that others can worship God too, for He is worthy of worship and praise. The goal isn't so that we can be glorified, so people can look at us and say, wow, look at, you know, how many people that person has shared the gospel with. That's not the goal. The goal is so that we can worship God as we share the good news of what Jesus has done for us, and so that others can worship God as well, so that God will be known. His salvation will be known among all nations, so all the people can praise him. He is worthy of that. What does John 3:16 says? What does John 3:16 say? Can anyone tell me what it says? Just the first part, right there in the back. Go ahead and stop right there. God so loved the world. You know, it doesn't say God so loved America. Yes, God does care about America, but God cares about the whole world. Every group of people. The gospel is for the whole world. So those women went and they told the disciples. The disciples, let's see what happens when they go to meet Jesus. Verse 16 tells us, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. Verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. What did the disciples do when they met with Jesus? Jesus had risen from the dead, and the disciples meet with him. What do? They worshipped him too. But isn't it interesting how it mentions here that some of them doubted? In fact, you might even know the name of one of those disciples who was kind of doubting. Do you know which disciple doubted? In fact, he said, I want to be able to put my finger into the print of the nails. Who was that?
Thomas.
It was Thomas. Why did Matthew include that here? It's kind of a downer, isn't it? They worshipped him, but some doubted. I'm glad that was included in the scriptures because it shows us that the disciples, they didn't just, you know, go along with what everybody thought in a gullible way. Some of them wanted physical proof. And Jesus said to Thomas, come, put your finger in the marks of the nails so you can believe. And Thomas also believed. He also worshipped. Well, when Jesus met with them, look at what he said in verse 18. Go ahead and go on to the next slide. This is what Jesus said to his disciples. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. What is authority? What is authority? What do you think? What is authority? Okay, we think of someone who's in authority. They're like a leader. They have the power to make decisions and give commands. So let me pick on somebody. How about Andrew here on the front row? Does Andrew have the authority to tell all of us, let's go outside and play on the playground? Does he have authority here to do that? No, are you sure? No, who has authority to say, we're going to go outside?
Mr. Dewberry.
Yes, Mr. Dewberry has authority here to say that. But here's another question. Does Mr. Dewberry have the authority to declare war on Russia? No, who has the authority to declare war on another country? Raise your hand. Yes. What part of the government? You're right, the government. This is a little tricky. Does anybody know what part of the government has that authority? I'll give you three choices. The president, the Congress, or the Supreme Court?
The Supreme Court.
I'm looking for hands. Okay, right here. Congress has the authority, the power to declare war. But one more question. Does Congress have the authority to decide what Christians should believe and what Christians should do? No. Because Jesus is even higher than Congress when it comes to that. Jesus says he has all authority. Where does Jesus have authority? Mr. Dewberry has authority here at ABC Kids. The president has authority over our country. But where does Jesus have authority? everywhere. Yes, heaven, earth, there's nowhere he doesn't have authority. Jesus has all authority. Now look at the next verse. Go, therefore. Do you see this word, therefore? It has an important role. It has an important function. This word, therefore, connects an action to a reason. The reason is Jesus has all authority. What is the action that we should do? Because Jesus has authority, what is the action that we should take? Does anyone see the action in verse 19? Go. Yes. We should go. It doesn't say that we should just stay and wait for people to come and talk to us about Jesus. No, we should go. We should take the initiative. We should go out because we have a message to share. Go ahead and go to the next slide, and I'd like to show you a person whose name was William Carey, and he has a special title. You know how George Washington is called the father of our country? Well, William Carey was the father of something. Does anyone know what he was the father of? What was he the father of? Here on the front row, Anna. Not Christianity. You're getting closer. It had to do with Christianity. He was the father. It was of a movement. If he had kids, he was the father of his kids. You're right. But modern missions. He was the father of the modern missionary movement. Because you know what? Really, it's kind of sad. After Jesus, his disciples, they go all over the world, especially Paul, who was a follower of Jesus. He goes all over the world sharing the good news about Jesus. And the other disciples did that as well. Peter and Thomas. Yeah, doubting Thomas. Some people say he went all the way to India sharing the good news about Jesus, his death and his resurrection. But you know what happened? Sadly, after a while, the Christians stopped. They stopped going out to new places. They stopped sharing the gospel with other people. They just stayed home and enjoyed whatever they were doing. Until a time when William Carey decided that the Great Commission, what Jesus said when he said, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations." He said, this applies to us. Well, he was at a preacher's meeting. And do you know what someone said to him? This is what they said. "Sit down, young man. You are a miserable enthusiast. Certainly nothing can be done until another Pentecost. When the Lord wants to convert the heathen, he'll do it without your help or mine. We just need to sit back and wait for God to do something, because God will convert those people in other countries that have never heard of Jesus. He'll do it without us doing anything." But go ahead on to that verse again. Is that what Jesus said? Wait for God to tell people about Jesus? No. Jesus himself said, "Go therefore and make disciples." What's a disciple? A disciple is kind of like Jesus' friends were disciples. Very good. What is a disciple like? A student. Someone who learns. But it's more than just learning information for our head. Because think about Jesus' disciples. They walked with Jesus. They talked with Jesus. They were with him all the time. Learning how to be like him. Being a disciple means learning to be like your teacher. So I have a question. Are we disciples? Are we learning not just information about Jesus, but are we learning to be like Jesus. Because we can't go and make disciples if we aren't disciples. We can't take someone else where we have never gone. We can't teach them to be something that we are not. So how can we make disciples? Well, just like we sang earlier, we need to let our light shine, not be ashamed to let others know that we are following and believing Jesus, sharing God's love with others, sharing the good news about who Jesus is and what he has done for us, for our salvation, and then helping others to grow in their walk with Christ. Jesus told us, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. What is the area that we are to go to? What group of people did Jesus send his followers to go to? Where were they to go? To the ends of the earth. To all nations. The farthest part of the world was where they were to go. When it says all the nations here, it's very interesting. It doesn't just mean like Russia, China, Peru, Brazil. When it says nations here, does anybody know what it's talking about? It's not talking about countries. It's a little bit tricky because when we think about nations, we think about countries like I just said, Brazil, Russia, China. Does anybody know what it means here?
Japan.
Not countries. It means ethnic groups, groups of people. You might even think like, did you know that there are nations inside of the United States? What nations are inside the United States? Does anyone know the name of a nation inside the United States of America? You.
Indian?
The Native Americans, yes. There are Choctaw Native Americans, Cherokee. There are Navajo, Crow, many different tribes. They are called nations. They are groups of people. And inside every country, there are different groups of people. Jesus told his disciples to reach every group of people. No matter what language they speak, no matter where they live, they might be on the other side of the world. Or you know what? They might be next door to your house. We are to reach every group of people with the gospel. And sometimes it's not easy. Raise your hand if you've heard about the Aka Indians and how there were some brave Christians who went to share the gospel with them. Now, they were in the country of Ecuador. Some of their names were Nate Saint, Jim Elliott. They were reaching people with the gospel. But they heard of a group of people that were very hostile and fierce. Now, they could have said, we're busy. We're reaching these people over here in Ecuador. We don't have time to reach those people over there. But that was a group of people that had never heard about Jesus. They needed to hear the gospel. Why were they so hostile and fierce? Because they didn't know the love of God. They didn't know about Jesus. And so these missionaries went to them. They shared the gospel with them. And do you know what happened? They were killed. Now, they actually had guns with them. But did they use their guns to defend themselves? They decided not to. They had the guns to protect themselves against wild animals, but they had already decided they would not use the guns to kill the people that they were reaching with the gospel. Because they knew where they would spend eternity. They knew the Lord. But these people, if they died, they would not go to heaven. They didn't know Jesus. Those missionaries all gave their lives.